little bit of
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're all ready for tonight's broadcast. This is a live broadcast. And we're going to talk about documents that I saw while I was with the Office of Naval Intelligence, specifically on the intelligence briefing team of the United States Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, who at that time was Admiral Bernard Clary. These documents outlined the coming formation of a one-world socialist government. There were many different aspects to this plan. One called for the ultimate unification of all religions into one, or to put it another way, the destruction of all existing religions, save the religion of the group that is bringing about what is known to most of us as the New World Order. It is, in fact, and it was revealed by this plan, that they are the sum total of the highest adepts of all of the secret societies and so-called fraternal orders, which as one body make up the mystery schools, or the ancient mystery religion of Babylon. This plan called for the creation of an external, artificial, and I stress that word artificial, threat to this earth. The entire ufology movement, ladies and gentlemen, is a creation meant to bring that about. Don't go away. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we will continue.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've extorted your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashes make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the job.
They want it
all. A new world order. A new world order.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there is a plan to bring about a new world order, and a lot of the things that you see happening in the world today are a direct result of action taken to complete that plan. Now, many of you aren't going to believe a word that I'm saying, and that's okay. You will find out eventually, I can assure you. And just as a little aside here, over the years that I've been warning people about this, and teaching people the truth about what's really going on, I have made probably 200 or 300 predictions. I've only been wrong once. All of my predictions have come true, ladies and gentlemen, except for one, and that was my prediction that Manuel Noriega would not be tried in an American court nor serve any time in an American prison because it was against the law of nations for somebody like the United States to arbitrarily decide to arrest the leader of a foreign country. Just as their diplomats have immunity when they are here in this nation representing their country, the heads of government of all countries have diplomatic immunity unless they are captured as an act of war. But that was no war, ladies and gentlemen. It may have been an act of war, but it was no war. It was a police action. I mean, our troops went down there specifically to arrest Manuel Noriega on charges put forward by the Justice Department in a United States court. It was unlawful. But at that time, I was not aware that they were so far along in their plans that the concept of sovereign nations no longer stands. Which means if a nation, another nation, ever becomes more powerful than the United States of America, they can do the same thing to us, ladies and gentlemen, or the United Nations. If the Security Council votes to arrest the President of the United States based upon the precedent that we set in Panama, they can do it. Now, I'm going to overlap on yesterday's broadcast just a little bit to make sure that we're not behind in anything. I want to make sure that everybody understands exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't want to come in the middle of something that we started yesterday, so we're going to back up a little bit. And I'm going to go over some material that we have already covered. As always, when you listen to the hour of the time, folks, make sure you have pen and paper handy and that you use it. Take copious notes. And once you have this information and you understand it, if you watch the events happening in the world, all of a sudden, things will begin to come together and make sense to you that made no sense to you ever before in your life. If you really believe that things on the worldwide scale happen all the time by accident, then you're not playing with a full deck of cards, folks. If all of these things were happening by accident, at least some of them would happen in our favor. But they're not. The law of averages, the laws of statistics say that eventually the card has to come up in our favor. We have to get a winning hand. But we are continually losing big time. And I mean big time. So let's back up. Remember, I talked yesterday about the creation of an artificial alien threat to this earth to facilitate the destruction of sovereign nations, the coming together as one humanity under a one-world government, with all people willing to make whatever sacrifices are called upon them to make, such as giving up all your liberties and freedoms, than anything else they may ask you to do, in order to oppose this external threat. And I talked about a lot of other things, but if you want to go back and cover those, folks, you're going to have to buy the tape. Now, this radio station and this broadcast is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust, which is a non-profit charitable organization. So if you want to find out how to acquire the tapes of any broadcast of the Hour of the Time, write to Harvest Trust. That's Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 2470, Pine Top, Arizona, 85935. That's Harvest Trust, P.O. Box 2470, Pine Top, Arizona, 85935. Or you can call 520-333-4578. We now continue with today's broadcast. In order to make interstellar travel believable, which nobody was buying, nobody understanding the vast distances in space could even remotely conceive that somebody from some other star could make the journey from their planet to here. Not only that, but nobody could understand how they could find this planet or even want to come here, given the billions and billions of choices that there are in the universe. So in order to make this believable, which absolutely had to occur for this scam to be swallowed by the people of the world, NASA, the National Aeronautic and Space Administration, was created. The Apollo space program, ladies and gentlemen, foisted the idea that man could travel to and walk upon the moon. Every single Apollo mission was carefully rehearsed and then filmed in large sound stages at the Atomic Energy Commission's top secret test site in the Nevada desert and in a secured and guarded sound stage at the Walt Disney Studios, within which was a huge scale mock-up of the moon. All the names, missions, landing sites, and events in the Apollo space program echoed the occult metaphors, rituals, and symbology of the Illuminati's secret religion. One of the most transparent, not the most, but one of the most transparent, was the faked explosion on Apollo 13, which was the metaphor for the initiation ceremony involving the death, which was the explosion, placement in the coffin, which was the period of uncertainty of their survival, communion with the spiritual world and the imparting of esoteric knowledge to the candidate, which was the orbit and observation of the moon without physical contact, rebirth of the initiate, which was the solution of the problem and repairs, and the raising up by the grip of the lion's paw, which was the reentry and recovery of Apollo 13. 13, ladies and gentlemen, is no coincidence. It is the number of death and rebirth, death and reincarnation, sacrifice, the phoenix, the Christ, but not the Christ that you know if you are a Christian, and the transition from the old to the new. Another revelation to those who understand the symbolic language of the Illuminati is the hidden meaning of the names of the space shuttles. Listen to this very carefully. I assume that you all know the names of the space shuttles. If you don't, they are all included in this sentence. Quote, a Columbian enterprise to endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, and all challengers shall be destroyed, end quote. Exploration of the moon, ladies and gentlemen, stopped because it was impossible to continue the hoax without being ultimately discovered. They were pressing their luck as it was. And of course, they ran out of pre-filmed episodes. No man, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. No man has ever ascended higher than 300 miles, if indeed any have ever ascended that high above the Earth's surface. No man has ever orbited, landed on, or walked upon the moon in any publicly known space program. If man has exceeded the 300-mile limit, and if man has ever truly been to the moon, it has been done in secret and with a far different technology. It was not done in the Apollo space program. And any high school student with a basic physics book can prove it. the tremendous radiation encountered in the Van Allen Belt. A belt surrounding the Earth, ladies and gentlemen, of such intense radiation that before this information became embarrassing, scientists stated unequivocally that for a man to get through the Van Allen Belt without frying in this radiation, he would need a 4-foot-thick lead shield. But that's not all. In space, there is solar radiation. You see, standing on the surface of the Earth or anywhere within our atmosphere, even a thin atmosphere, we are protected from the solar radiation and from the tremendous increase above the normal solar radiation that is created by solar flares and flung throughout the universe. Most of them are unpredictable, cannot be predicted. There is no such thing as saying we're going to send a man from the Earth to the moon during this period of time because we know there's not going to be any solar flares or solar storms. And thus they'll be safe from radiation. Cannot be done. On top of that, there's cosmic radiation. On top of that, there is a tremendous problem with temperature control and many other problems connected with space travel, which prevent living organisms leaving our atmosphere with our known level of technology. As I said, any intelligent high school student with a basic physics book can prove NASA faked the Apollo moon landings. Now, if you doubt this, ladies and gentlemen, please explain how the astronauts walked upon the moon's surface enclosed in a spacesuit in full sunlight, absorbing a minimum of 265 degrees of heat surrounded by a vacuum. 265 degrees, ladies and gentlemen, is 55 degrees above the boiling point of water. That would take one hell of an air conditioning system to keep them cool. NASA tells us the moon has no atmosphere and that the astronauts were surrounded by the vacuum of space. Well, if that's true, ladies and gentlemen, heat is defined as the vibration or movement. Heat is defined, ladies and gentlemen, as the vibration or movement of molecules within matter. The faster the molecular motion, the higher the temperature. The slower the molecular motion, the colder the temperature. Absolute zero is that point where all molecular motion ceases. In order to have hot or cold, ladies and gentlemen, molecules must be present. NASA tells us that space is absolute zero, that it is colder than any cold that any person has ever experienced, because absolute zero is like 200 and something degrees below the zero that you know about. Do you understand what I'm telling you? That is a lie. NASA has intentionally lied to us all of these years. Space is a vacuum. A vacuum is a condition of nothingness where there are no molecules. Vacuums, ladies and gentlemen, exist in degrees. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Some scientists tell us that there is no such thing as an absolute vacuum. But space is the closest thing to an absolute vacuum that has ever been known to us. There are so few molecules present in most of the areas of what we know as space that any concept of hot or cold is absolutely impossible to measure. For all intents and purposes, it cannot be measured, does not exist. Now remember, a vacuum is a perfect insulator. That's why a thermos bottle or a vacuum bottle is used by all of you to store your hot or cold liquids in order to maintain the temperatures for the longest time possible without reheating or recooling. Same thing in space, ladies and gentlemen. Space is a perfect insulator. It is not cold. However, an object in space can be heated by the radiant heat of the sun, which can travel through a vacuum, although it does not affect the vacuum. Remember, for something to be heated or cooled, there must be molecules present. Radiation of all types will travel through a vacuum, but will not affect that vacuum. radiant heat from the sun travels through the vacuum of space, but does not warm space. In fact, the radiant heat of the sun has no effect whatsoever until it strikes matter. Molecular movement will increase in direct proportion to the radiant energy which is absorbed by matter. The time it takes to heat matter exposed to direct sunlight in space is determined by its color, its elemental properties, its distance from the sun, and its rate of absorption of radiant heat energy. In other words, an object in space will absorb the radiant heat energy of the sun and will be heated until its temperature becomes equal to the radiant heat that it is absorbing. The side of the object that is in shadow will not be cooled by the so-called, quote, cold of space, end quote, NASA's lie that it has perpetrated for all of these years. It does not happen. Heat will spread through any object, through contact of molecule against molecule, until the heat of the object, all over the object, has become equal, ladies and gentlemen. Now understand what I just told you. Objects which are heated cannot be cooled by space. In order for an object to cool, it must first be removed from direct sunlight. And then it will stay at the temperature that it is at for quite a long time, until the molecular motion slows down through the resistance of molecules vibrating against each other until all motion stops if the object is kept out of direct sunlight for a long enough period of time. Objects which are in the shadow of another object will eventually cool, but not because space is cold. Space is not cold. Space has no temperature whatsoever. Space is a perfect insulator. Hot and cold do not exist in the vacuum of space, or in any vacuum for that matter. Objects cool because the laws of motion dictate that the molecules of the object will slow down due to the resistance resulting from striking other molecules until eventually all motion will stop, provided the object is sheltered from the direct and or indirect radiation of the sun and that there is no other source of heat. And this process takes quite a long time. NASA insists the spacesuits the astronauts supposedly wore on the lunar surface were air-conditioned. An air conditioner cannot and will not work without a heat exchanger. A heat exchanger, ladies and gentlemen, simply takes heat gathered in a medium such as Freon from one place and transfers it to another place. Water can be used. Air can be used. Anything that will conduct heat can be used for this process. This requires a medium of molecules which can absorb and transfer the heat, such as the atmosphere or water. An air conditioner will not and cannot work in a vacuum. NASA, in fact, says that their air conditioning works by a system of tubes which carry water all around the body, all throughout the spacesuit, and to a heat exchanger, which is cooled by ejecting water onto coils which freeze because of the cold of space, and then the water on the coils absorbs the heat from the water in the coils and then evaporates into space. Does not happen, ladies and gentlemen. It is another lie. Such a system might work in the atmosphere of the Earth, but it will not work in the vacuum of space. In fact, if you look at the videotapes, the good videotapes, of the astronauts walking around in their spacesuits, you will see no tubes of heat exchangers of any kind and no ice formed on their backpacks anywhere at any time. Which means if such a heat exchanger exists, it must exist underneath the backpack and there must be an opening there so that the ice can have contact with the vacuum of space. When you watch the astronauts bend over, you will see that there is no opening on the bottom of their backpack. NASA has lied to us again. There is no heat exchanger. There is no way that the spacesuits can be cooled, surrounded by a vacuum in space, ladies and gentlemen. Not only that, but even if they had a heat exchanger that was hidden in the backpack, I was somehow open to the vacuum of space so that ice could evaporate. NASA has proved themselves a liar through their own words by stating that they have found ice in the shadowed portions of craters that are never lit by the light of the sun. Ice that has been there for millions, maybe billions of years. So NASA themselves have told us that ice will not evaporate into the vacuum of space. NASA has lied once again. And air conditioner will not and cannot work in a vacuum. A spacesuit surrounded by a vacuum cannot transfer heat from the inside of the suit to any other place. The vacuum, remember, is a perfect insulator. A man would roast in his suit like a hot dog in such a circumstance. The same laws of physics apply to any vehicle traveling through space. How did they cool the vehicle? Traveling through space, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, honey. My little daughter just got home and brought something in to show to me. The same laws of physics, ladies and gentlemen, apply to any vehicle traveling through space. NASA says they solved the problem of heat buildup in the space vehicle traveling from the Earth to the Moon, which you'll remember took several days, by slowly rotating the spacecraft so that as one side was heated, this is exactly what they tell us, as one side is heated, it slowly rotates into the shadow side where it is cooled by the sub-zero temperatures of space. Another lie. Remember, space is a vacuum. It is a perfect insulator. The only thing that NASA could accomplish by slowly rotating the vehicle as it traveled through space would be to roast the astronauts evenly all the way through from all sides, just like a hot dog or a turkey on a spit. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There is no way to cool that spacecraft traveling through space, and the way that NASA does it, or the way that NASA has told us that they did it, is a lie. It is a lie. Remember, they told us that the spacecraft is slowly rotating as it travels through space. And as one side is heated to the tremendous temperatures caused by the radiant heat of the sun, it slowly rotates into the shadow side. It's always rotating, so it doesn't stay there very long. But NASA claims that it was cooled by the sub-zero temperatures of space. It is a lie. If the spacecraft was cooled by the sub-zero temperatures of space, why isn't your coffee cooled in the sub-zero temperatures of the vacuum that surrounds your coffee in a vacuum bottle? Because there is no temperature in a vacuum. And that's exactly what keeps your coffee hot, ladies and gentlemen. NASA has lied to us. NASA and the Apollo space program is one of the biggest hoaxes ever perpetrated. And this is just one of over 100 valid scientific reasons why NASA and the Apollo space program are two of the biggest lies ever foisted upon the unsuspecting and trusting people of the world. The head of NASA at the time of the Apollo space program, Mr. Kleindienst was rewarded for his ability to hoodwink the world. He is now the Grand Commander of the Council of the 33rd Degree of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry of the Southern Jurisdiction. In other words, he's the boss of almost all of the Freemasons in the world. All of the astronauts were Freemasons. All of them, ladies and gentlemen. There's a photograph in the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C. of Neil Armstrong on the moon's surface, supposedly. We know that he really was not there when this photograph was taken, in his spacesuit, holding his Masonic apron in front of his groin. The effect upon the people of the world was that if we could go to the moon other creatures from other worlds could travel to our Earth, especially an advanced race of other creatures. The escalation of the artificial alien threat scenario since that time has been and continues to be extremely obvious. After hearing this broadcast, you should go back and watch Independence Day again and listen very carefully to all of the dialogue, especially that spoken by the president and some of the other leaders of the world. A result, ladies and gentlemen, of the Genome Project at Los Alamos Laboratory, Los Alamos National Laboratory, the recent success of cloning and advances in biochemistry will produce laboratory-created creatures that will ultimately be presented to the people of the world as extraterrestrial in origin. The only reason an extraterrestrial has not been presented to humanity is that they have not yet succeeded in making one that is believable. For an in-depth explanation of this artificial alien threat scenario, read the report from Iron Mountain, The Probability and Possibility of Permanent Peace. The whole scenario is outlined in that study. A propaganda decoy has been presented by socialist change agents known to you as William Moore, Jamie Chanderay, and Stanton T. Friedman. It is called Operation Majestic 12. It has succeeded in leading the sheeple, especially the ufologists for a while anyway, away from the truth by presenting the artificial alien threat as a government cover-up and that aliens are real. Most of the well-known ufologists and so-called UFO researchers are Illuminati socialists or government change agents operating in furtherance of propagandizing the American people. Ruby Ridge, Waco, the attack against patriots and militias and other acts of aggression against the American people who might discover and combat this fraud are acts of war. They are designed to demonize fundamentalist Christians, Jews, Muslims, members of the Mormon Church, other religious fundamentalist organizations, the lawful constitutional militia described in the statutes and the United States Code, and anyone else who might fight in defense of the Constitution and our liberty and freedom. These terrorist acts deliver a message to the American people and to the people of the world that any opposition to the New World super government will be met with overwhelming force and the complete genocide of the enemies of socialism. The World Trade Center bombing, the bombing of the Oklahoma City Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, and mass shootings by mental and ex-mental patients of large numbers of men, women, and children in Stockton, California, and the most recent one, were and will continue to be intentional acts of war designed to spread terror and a feeling of helplessness. Most of the ex or current mental patients who have perpetrated these acts are in fact innocent victims of mind control projects that are in activation to further the interests of this socialist new world order. In my book, Behold a Pale Horse, I predicted that the first major terrorist attack upon the United States would take place in New York City. I was correct. I said that it would not stop there, and I've said on this broadcast that it would not stop there, that it would spread, and that these attacks and these shootings would continue until the American people get down on their knees and beg their slave masters to disarm them so that they can be more easily and more quickly enslaved. And the sheeple are following for it, hook, line, and sinker. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, and it is a fact, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, orchestrated the attack upon the World Trade Center, teaching the terrorists how to drive the van. They taught the terrorists how to build the bomb. They placed it in the building and detonated the bomb. One of the Federal Bureau of Investigation informants attempted to secure permission from the FBI to substitute inert ingredients for the bomb so that no one would be injured. but the Federal Bureau of Investigation agent in charge denied the request. The informant tape recorded every single one of his conversations. That's right, it is a combination. He recorded all of his conversations with the FBI, and a full transcript of the tapes were printed in the New York Times. The judge refused to allow the tapes to be presented in court in defense of the FBI informant. Confederate would be a much better word. The attack on the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building was designed to affect the heartland. It was designed, ladies and gentlemen, to affect the heartland so that no one in the nation will feel safe. These acts, in the manner of Hegel's dialectic, are leading to a need for the elimination of the rights of individuals and the disarmament of all peoples so that the world's supergovernment can step up to provide the solution, which will be artificial safety and security from terrorism, something that no one can ever guarantee. But the sheeple will believe it. Thesis against antithesis equals synthesis. The Omnibus Counterterrorism Act, which followed, gave the president the power to arrest, imprison, and or deport any political opposition without trial, without habeas corpus, and without explanation of any kind. It, in fact, gave him the power to name any group a terrorist group, thus setting the stage for the arrest, detention, imprisonment without benefit of habeas corpus, without benefit of any kind of trial, with a possible result of deportation to a foreign country, and without explanation to anybody, by anybody. And I'm here to tell you, if these acts of terror do not succeed, there will be more bombings. There will be chemical or biological attacks. They will escalate in the destruction, maiming, and killing of men, women, and especially children. As a last resort, if all else fails, the Illuminati are prepared, and I'm going to tell you this again so that you understand it, as a last resort, if all else fails, believing completely that the ends justify the means, the Illuminati are prepared to detonate an atomic weapon in a large American city such as New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles. A war may be promulgated in the Middle East in order to provide the excuse needed to explain terrorist attacks upon the United States of America to the American sheeple in order that they will accept personal disarmament in the interest of peace and security. Now listen to this closely, and if you don't believe it, you check it, because all the documentation is in the public domain. Most of it has already been admitted by the United States government and has been published in the major newspapers of the nation. Saddam Hussein was trained by the Central Intelligence Agency. Saddam Hussein was put in power in Iraq by the Central Intelligence Agency under George Herbert Walker Bush, who later became the President of the United States of America, and led the United States in a war called Desert Storm against Saddam Hussein and Iraq, making sure that no harm came to Saddam Hussein. The United States armed Iraq and gave Saddam Hussein the technology and scientific knowledge to create weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein functions as the big boogeyman of the world, or the Antichrist, if you will, and the stage was set in a film narrated by the same man who on the Mercury Theater presented the War of the Worlds in 1938, called The Late Great Planet Earth, in which an Antichrist was presented as a man from the Muslim world. Incredibly, ladies and gentlemen, in this film, he looks exactly like Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein functions as the Antichrist, or the big boogeyman of the world, so that the United Nations can cement its authority over the so-called sovereign nations, which, by the way, are not sovereign anymore. And that is why Saddam Hussein was not killed during the Gulf War, and that's why he won't be killed in any future Gulf War. His purpose is to function as an antichrist to create terror in the minds of the sheeple of the world. The answer, of course, will be the destruction of national sovereignty worldwide the establishment of a one-world socialist government under the United Nations, disarmament of all nations, and the establishment of a world police force. The terrorist attacks, ladies and gentlemen, which will be launched in the United States, will be blamed upon Middle Eastern religious fanatics, Christian fundamentalists, white supremacists, patriots, or militias. A more immediate result of these operations will be the increased use of military forces, weaponry, and equipment such as tanks and armored personnel carriers in civilian law enforcement. The suspension or elimination of habeas corpus, the elimination of jury trials, and the institution of martial law with show trials conducted by a tribunal of judges. When you continue to hear this constitutional republic referred to as a democracy, you must remember that V.I. Lenin, the founder of the Soviet Union, said, quote, "Democracy is indispensable to socialism," end quote. When you hear our military referred to as UN peacekeepers, remember that both Karl Marx and Lenin defined peace as, quote, "the elimination of all opposition to socialism," end quote. When you wonder where all this is taking us, remember that both Marx and Lenin stated that, quote, "the ultimate goal of socialism is communism," end quote, and if you think communism is dead, read Gorbachev's book, Perestroika, and he will tell you quite the opposite. But if you think the fall of the Soviet Union was the end of communism, read Golitsyn. And believe me when I tell you that the highest-ranking communist mole in the Central Intelligence Agency was James Jesus Angleton. The Turner Diaries, ladies and gentlemen, were actually written by the Central Intelligence Agency prior to 1972. The concept of leaderless resistance was promulgated to enable easy destruction of any resistance to the world supergovernment. Small, scattered units without a concerted tactical plan and a solid, reliable command structure will be defeated in a very short period of time. No such movement could ever effect the necessary political control to restore order and reinstitute government of any kind, even if they managed to win the war. Now let me say that again so that it sinks through some of the thick heads out there. The concept of leaderless resistance was promulgated to enable easy destruction of any resistance to the world supergovernment. The Turner Diaries also branded anyone who used such a tactic as racist terrorists. Small scattered units without a concerted tactical plan and a solid, reliable command structure will be defeated in a very short period of time. No such movement could ever effect the necessary political control to restore order and reinstitute government of any kind, even if they managed to win the war. Many of the so-called patriot leaders, such as Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz, Mark Kornke, John Stadtmiller, Kurt Saxon, and many others, are actually change agents of Illuminati socialism or the intelligence community. World War III is being fought now. It is being fought with information warfare using very sophisticated mind control techniques, propaganda, disinformation, intimidation, fear, and manipulation. It is, in fact, a usually quiet war being fought mostly with silent weapons. But before long, ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you it will become very loud and very destructive. Ordo ab chaos dictates that the old order be completely and thoroughly destroyed before the new order can be established. How do they do this? Well, many of you follow some of these change agents, believing that they're on your side, looking up to them as heroes, thinking that they're telling you the truth. But, ladies and gentlemen, nothing could be farther from the truth. One of the greatest Trojan horses ever presented to the American people has been Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz. Now, this is written by Bogreitz. Nothing is invented here. I'm going to read you a letter that he wrote in response to an editorial printed in the Hartford Advocate This letter was written by Bogreitz to the Hartford Advocate as a reply. And I'm only going to read you the portions of it that apply to this broadcast because it's a long, long letter. He says, quote, "The 17 October edition of the Hartford Advocate's Conspiracy of Hate was indeed just that, but devoid of fact. Since its release, outraged Americans have faxed and mailed me copies from all over the United States. It is unfortunate that the Advocate printed this extensive cover article without so much as a phone call to me. This was irresponsible and insupportable journalism, unless the purpose of the publication is to provide the public with fish wrap. The article cast me as a militia-leading, government-hating, anti-Semitic racist supporter of the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis, all of which is a blatant lie. In accordance with United States Codes 10 and 32, which define the unorganized militia, let me say that again so that there's no mistake here, which define the unorganized militia as a regular, listen to me very carefully, he makes a confession here, as a regular United States Army officer on retainer with hip pocket orders, I cannot be a member of any militia. I neither belong to nor lead any such organization. Neither do I support fear of black helicopters, United Nations, or extraterrestrial invasions. I have steadfastly done everything in my power to dissuade anarchist militia activity and debunk people who advocate violence." Now, what's important there, ladies and gentlemen, is that he has been telling us for years that he resigned his commission as a regular United States Army officer. He lied. Here he admits he is a regular United States Army officer on retainer with hip pocket orders, which means, ladies and gentlemen, he is an undercover agent of the United States government. He has lied about his religion. To Pete Peters, he said he was a member of the Christian Identity Church. Do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? That's British Israelism. Those are the people who believe that they are the true Israel and that every other race is inferior to them and that they are destined to rule the world. Reitz goes on to say, quote, "I am a member of the Jewish Defense League's San Francisco chapter. I believe the fate of America is linked to Israel. For that reason, I am a long-time The Forward subscriber." Now, if you don't know what the Jewish Defense League is, ladies and gentlemen, it is a militant, racist arm of international Zionism. It is not a normal Jewish organization. Most Jews in this world are just like all other people. They don't know what the hell's going on any more than any of us ever did before we did our research or before, like me, got placed in a position where we discovered it and then spent many years researching to find out what it all meant. He says, quote, "I am a member of the Jewish Defense League's San Francisco chapter," end quote. This is the same man who told the people in Sedona, Arizona, that he's tried all the different churches and never found one that he could believe in. I bet he didn't tell that to the church that he's been a member of for many years, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. One day on his radio program, he even told everybody that he had left the Mormon Church, didn't want to be a member of it anymore, didn't believe in its religion, and then began on the radio talking about how he had sent his son for past life regression and how he believed in reincarnation and all of the New Age movement things. This is how he trolls for people to follow him. Whoever you are, he will be whatever you are in order to get you to follow him so that he can find out who you are and what you're doing and where you live so that when all this comes down, anyone who would dare fight against the New World Order can be rounded up and imprisoned. And when the key is turned in the lock, it will be Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz who turns that key. If you read the letter, and you can find it on my webpage, harvest-trust.org. That's harvest-trust, www.lifeonearth.org. When you read the letter to the editor, written by Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz, please note the admissions contained therein. He states that he became a cadet in 1953 and entered active Army service in 1957. He admits that he is now, at this time, as I speak, a regular United States Army officer on retainer with hip pocket orders. In other words, he is an undercover agent of the United States government. Yet he has claimed on many occasions that he resigned his commission. If he had resigned his commission as he has claimed, why is he always in uniform and or pictured in uniform? You want to know? Because most of the sheeple are suckers for a uniform and a chest full of ribbons. Greitz is working for the Department of Defense of the United States government right now. He admits membership in the Jewish Defense League. He openly admits that he is a Zionist. He has claimed to be a Mormon, Christian identity, Christian, and during one memorable moment while lecturing in Sedona, Arizona, Greitz claimed to have tried all religions, but had never found one in which he could believe. There is nothing, folks, listen to me, there is absolutely nothing wrong with being in the military or with being a member of the Jewish Defense League. There is, however, a great deal wrong with lying to the American people. There is nothing wrong with being a member of the Mormon Church. There is nothing wrong with being a member of the Christian Identity Church. There is nothing wrong with being an atheist and saying that he's never found a religion that he can believe in, if that is true and if he's being honest with everybody. I believe in freedom, and we all have the freedom to belong to whatever organization or whatever church we want to belong to. And I have served in the military service of the United States of America, first in the Air Force and then in the Navy. So understand that I am not criticizing him for these things. What I am criticizing him for is lying to the American people, repeatedly lying over and over and over again, while all the time he is a paid undercover agent of the United States government, by his own admission. Now, Zionists believe they are a superior race, chosen by God to rule the world in a one-world government with the capital in Jerusalem. Zionists believe all other people are inferior. Zionism is Christian identity, British Israelism, and a radical branch of Judaism. Most Zionists are white Christians and Orthodox Messianic Jews. Most Jews are not Orthodox, are not Zionists, but are secular in their religious beliefs. Harvest Trust, over the years, in our investigations, have determined that Greitz is a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry of the Southern Jurisdiction. His photograph appeared on one of the covers of a very prominent Patriot magazine. On his hand, he is wearing the ring of the 32nd degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. He is an FBI informant. When he was called to help the FBI at Ruby Ridge, he was called by the FBI and was working for the FBI and wore a wire the whole time in every conversation that he had with Randy Weaver. He is an active undercover agent for the Special Operations Group of the Department of Defense as an integral member of a project called Trojan Horse. Now remember, you heard all this from William Cooper years ago. And you're hearing it again because now we have it in his own words in a letter that he wrote, which we got off of his webpage. And just to make sure that we were doing the right thing, we got a copy from the newspaper, which he wrote it to and who printed it on their editorial page. World War III is being fought now. It is being fought with information warfare, using very sophisticated mind control techniques, propaganda, disinformation, intimidation, fear, and manipulation. It is, in fact, a usually quiet war being fought mostly with silent weapons. But before long, it will become very loud and very destructive. Ordo ab Chao is the motto of the higher degrees of this order, and it dictates that the old order be completely and thoroughly destroyed before the new order can be established. A one-world socialist government is the stated and avowed policy of the United States government. The United States created the United Nations. The United States State Department wrote the policy in the document known as State Department Publication 7277, which includes an introduction by President Truman, 33rd degree Freemason, which admits the United States government's world government policy. State Department Publication 7277 outlines the merger of the military of the United States with the military of the Eastern Bloc nations as a world peacekeeping force under the United Nations as the ultimate goal of the foreign policy of the United States of America. I didn't make any of this up, and everything that you have been told on yesterday's broadcast and today's broadcast is thoroughly documented. NATO is a part of the United Nations and was created under its auspices according to the United Nations Charter. The Warsaw Pact was a part of the United Nations and was created under its auspices according to the United Nations Charter. The Cold War was a scam which allowed both governments to levy large taxes which were used to develop the technology and experiment with techniques which will be combined to control the population of the world. The inclusion of Warsaw Pact nations as new members of NATO is the initial stage of Phase 2 of the merger of forces outlined in State Department Publication 7277, which will become the world police force under the United Nations. President Kennedy presented the plan to disarm the nations and people of the world to the United Nations. The United States planted the seed of an European Union, nurtured that idea, and has supported its formation. When the leader of the old Soviet Union banged his shoe on his desk at the United Nations and screamed, quote, "We do not have to invade the United States. We will destroy you from within," end quote. He was telling us the truth. The progression of accomplishments toward the completion of the plan to implement one world socialist totalitarian government is guided and controlled by the hierarchy of the Illuminati and the groups known as the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the Round Table Group, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and many others, including the Illuminati in government and industry, who are members of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry of the Southern and Northern jurisdictions, the Supreme Council of the York Rite of Freemasonry, International Zionism, B'nai B'rith, the Grand Lodge of France, the Grand Lodge of England, the Order of the Golden Dawn, the Ordo Templi Orientalis, the Rosy Crucis, the Sovereign and Military Order of the Knights of Malta, the Knights Templar, the Jason Society, the Vatican, and many others, too numerous to list. See the occult and other links on our homepage. You will be amazed. It's harvest-trust.org on the Internet. I will finish this tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, because once again, we've run out of time. Good night, and God bless each and every one of you. And if I've scared you, good. It's about time somebody did.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. Things can fall massively. We're here for the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a priority tax. If you got a complaint, stay on the back.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land. And Clinton saying hit the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of a fourth Reich, Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, creates a panic and rapes the nation.
crisis creation. Incite black and white program agitation.
Don't make this! You're surrounded by the UN in white and gray, the ATF, the men in black, and the one world order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilation. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination, biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood.
For who?
The sonic mind manipulation, inciting riots, is crisis creation. Biochip implantation, vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of health care benefits that are always there and can never be taken away.